getting back to the canneries, you know, they were remotely situated where they were self-contained. They had the, of course, the superintendent, the boss, the accounting staff, bookkeeping. They had the mess halls, the cooks, the waiters, everything. They had the blacksmith. He was making with ironworks. Any, they could make anything. They had the beach gang and the net gang. You know, it was kind of a self-contained, it was a miniature city. But my, Karen, I'll tell you, things have changed. I've seen it, and I don't know if you noticed it, or, and I've talked to several people about this. You take the canneries now, they're moving into where there's power, where there's sewer, where there's a road, a good road to the airport. You know, take a look at South Naknek. I never believed that Trident would close down shop there and move across the river to the north side. Simply, I think, because they got a road there, it's cheaper to operate. And take a look at here. Peter Pan has probably got a good location right in the center of town. They got power, access to the airport, good road to the airport. Good transportation, and sure, it might be a little farther from the fishing grounds, but not very much. So I think that canneries are making a big move to, if there's land available, to be close to where an organized municipality is.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That sounds like
the only the remotest operation in the bay now is Igigig with the icicle plant. They bought that cannery down there a few years ago, but other than that, every one of them is they're not canning any outside the municipalities. Yeah.
Now, what about the floating processors? And there, you saw those come in.
Yeah. They were kind of self-contained, too. A lot of them had canning. Alaska Queen had the canning equipment right on board until it moved on shore down here in Queen Slough. The other processes, I don't know. They were salting, I think. Salting their fish.
So Queen Slough was a floating processor before it moved on land.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. They bought some land down there from an old guy and built the cannery there. It's a shame. Like, I remember when I was a kid, I saw that cannery grow from virtually nothing to a major operator in the bay. And then when the old man died, it just fell apart.
And that was Bendixson?
Yeah. Of course, the location was obsolete. Like I say, everybody's moving in. Into town.
And when did that cannery shut down at Queen Slough?
What was the last year they canned? Early 90s, maybe? I think. Early 90s? Yeah. Yeah. Quite a while ago.
That was around the same time that the price really started to drop, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. 40 cents a pound. Ooh. Yeah. These canneries, each one had a store. I remember the cannery uptown here, the Bristol Bay Packers at Bristol Alliance, they had a store there. And Clark's Point had a store, Eacock had a store, Queen Cannery, I mean, Creek Cannery had a store. Then in Naknek, I think the store stayed open there. But you got everything from the cannery. Before the carpenter left in the fall, he cut up a kit, and you could, he put it, he bundled it up, and you could buy a whole kit to make a sled.
Oh, wow.
Oak. Everything was cut out. All you had to do was steam it and put it together. They had quite a variety for being where they were located, you know. No delivery trucks.
People use those sleds. Do they take them to their trap lines?
Or? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you will. Yeah. 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 Canvas had a pretty big impact on our way of life here. Mm. Yeah.
Tell me more about that. How so?
How so? Well, if you wanted to learn to fish, you went to the cannery and see if you could get a boat or a fish partner for a while. And then you were obligated to fish for them, you know, if they gave you a boat. Mm. And then year after year, if you done good, you got a boat.
Yeah.
And there's some way to make a cash income, because you need cash too to subsist. You got to buy flour, sugar, butter. You can't just live off straight meat from the land. Yeah, they carried a pretty good line. Clothing, canned goods, dry goods. Just about everything a person needed. My dad talked about going to Clark's Point and for $300 load up a sailing boat and come home with groceries. Mm. It was reasonable. Like I say, candy bar was a nickel and soda pop was 15 cents. When we were kids, we used to play around the canneries. Around the cannery, and when we get hungry, we just go grab a can and open it up and eat it. You can't do it no more. You go to jail. Yeah. Can't take your pocket knife and open it up and start eating.
Because you knew everyone in there so well. Huh? You knew everyone who worked there so well.
What?
You knew everyone who worked there, it sounds like.
No, quite a bit of them, yeah.
One thing I was curious to hear more about is, seems like you've seen a lot of ups and downs in the fishery. You've seen a lot of really strong years for prices, yeah, and runs, and then a lot of weak years.
Well, it was in the 50s, 1953. This bay, Nooshiegak Bay, was going to be closed. Mm. And Eacock Set Netters, Peter Pan, or PAF, everybody went to Naknek to fish, because Naknek Wheejack was going to be open. And Bendixson, he stayed here, kept his cannery open, and the fish came in thick. I don't know how many scow loads he dumped. The full scows out to the bay and dump them. What a waste, what a shame. Yeah. Couldn't handle them. And then there were some poor years. Of course, all blame it on the Japanese high seas fishing. And it was really down, you know. I think the lowest I can remember was maybe 7 million fish returned, 8 million fish.
Wow.
Of course, there wasn't too many fishermen then. But still, they depended on the fishery for a living.
Yeah.
And, but we survived ups and downs. I mean, look at the last 10, 15 years here. Fishing, price of fish was 40 cents a pound. Now a dollar and a, what was it, $1.20 this year? $1.50 last year? You know, you can always seem like scrape enough to make a living here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things that you, if you were a company fisherman years ago, you get to draw unemployment.
Oh.
Because in the wintertime, because you were a cannery employee, just like an employee. Yeah.
So did things change a lot when people started to go independent then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it changed quite a bit. Before we were independent, they had a tally scow and a scow with a house on it that they provided food for the fishermen. And there was a cook on board. He must have cooked 24 hours a day. And after you deliver your fish, after you clean your boat up, you slackened back and you got a hot meal. They done that until, I think Queen Fisheries was the last one to do it, early 70s. You get a hot meal on board the tally scow. That was good.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. You know, you're tired and after pewing all that fish, there were no brailers back then either.
Right.
No brailers. Boy, some of them scouts were high. And you had a few, and if you missed, you overboard it went.
Oh, wow. Makes delivering fish a lot more work.
Especially them kings.
Yeah, King really. Salmon. I've done that before.
20-some pound king, overboard you go.
I did that once when I was fishing.
Now, I hope this fishery continues the way it is. Gee whiz.
Continues the way it is in terms of...
managing it. I think we've been pretty lucky here.
Mm-hmm.
Had good managers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those years when there were poor returns, was there ever talk of putting hatcheries in here? What did people think about that?
No, I think the first thing when we became a state was to outlaw them hatcheries here.
Outlaw hatcheries in Bristol Bay?
Yeah.
And why was that even at the time?
It had something to do with the market and interfere with the wild salmon, the ecosystem of the wild salmon.
Mm.
You know, people don't realize, but years ago, just about every household had a dog team.
Mm.
Some two dog teams.
Wow, that's a lot of dogs.
And you had to dry a lot of fish. My dad had a big rack down there. It holds 3,000 fish.
Wow.
You dry that much. Of course, my mom would sell some to some of these guys, single guys, who didn't have a family to put up fish.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because they needed it for their dog teams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How many dogs on a team?
Oh, there's 7, 9, 5. Some families had two teams, you know. Probably 7 and 7. All good dogs, too. Yeah.
And what kind of fish did you put up for the dogs?
Any kind of dry fish, any kind of species.
Mm-hmm.
You split them and hang them up to dry. Then we had to bundle them in the fall. Yeah, 50 to a bundle, 20 to a bundle. Cut a lot of hay, grass for the dogs.
Mm.
Yeah. A lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot of work. But we didn't know any better. That was the real transportation mode.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And besides trapping in the winter and fishing in the summer, what else did you do in the fall time and the springtime?
Oh, hunt quite a bit. Hunt moose and stuff in the fall and ducks in the springtime. Yeah. And fall. Yeah. It seemed like you were always messing with something had to do with food or something.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be for the dogs or for human consumption. Yeah. Yeah.
How far did you go when you were doing all that hunting and trapping?
Oh, my dad would go down the coast. I went with him several times down there, down to Igoochee, Point Protection. Day trips would go to Grass Island, mm-hmm. Nushigak and back. Yeah. Work with the tide, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad talked about it before, outboard motors. They used to row to Grass Island and back.
Wow.
Row to Nushigak. Yeah. Yeah.
And so your part of your dad's family was from Sweden.
Yeah.
The Yupik side of the family, where were they from?
I think my grandma or great-grandma was from the peninsula someplace.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that was the one who was the in Kanakanak Orphanage, or no?
No, my mom.
Well, that was your mom's side.
Yeah. She was Yupik. She was born and raised in Igoochee. Yeah. And then went to the orphanage.
And then how did the peninsula relative get into the family?
I don't know. Well, she married my great-grandpa.
Great-grandfather.
Yeah. That was my grandma's mom. They died during the flu, 1919.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I didn't know them.
So your grandfather lost both his parents to the flu? Or no?
My grandfather?
Or... So who died in the flu?
My great-grandma and grandpa.
Mm-hmm. Your grandmothers.
Yeah, and then my grandmother on my... No, she died after the flu, my grandma, on my mom's side. Mm. Yeah. I think my mom was 3-4 years old when my grandma died. Oh. Yeah.
Who raised her then?
Oh, she went to the orphanage and... stayed with different people. Mm-hmm. My grandpa paid families to take care of her. Mm-hmm. Then she went to the orphanage. She didn't like it there. Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She couldn't even speak her Yupik tongue.
Oh, really?
No, she gets slapped. And It was so bad that my uncle, he ran away from the orphanage. Mm. 20 below zero. Oof. And he walked to Igoochee.
Wow.
Middle of the winter. And he froze his hands. The stubs, his fingers looked like stubs. You know, he could still, but the ends of them were frozen.
Wow.
And he didn't like that orphanage. He ran away.
And he never went back?
Never went back. No way. Nope.
So now, does anyone live year-round at Igoochee anymore?
No. They all moved up to Manicouagan. Yeah. Yeah.
So is that where he lived?
It used to be a big village down there, Sintuck.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your uncle then lived in Manicouagan?
Yeah. Bartman, Simeon.
And that was typical of, you weren't allowed to speak Yupik in any schools around here?
No, they frowned on it, I guess, especially the orphanage. Mm. I didn't have any trouble going to school because I didn't speak fluent Yupik.
Did a lot of kids from around here get sent off to boarding schools at all?
Yeah. I remember kids went to go to Mount Edgecombe, Chamawa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they went. Yeah.
What did they think of those experiences?
Some of them liked it, some of them didn't. Yeah. Always homesick, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So it seems like you got to see around a lot of the state when you were pretty young, when you got involved in, was it the BBNC or before that?
Yeah. 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 I think we'll knock it off, huh?
Okay.